I'm Jamie Winstone, and this is my greatest night ever.
We've had some goodies.
And I got into the pool first, because it was a mega party.
We've got my beautiful Princess Julia here.
This is the corner of our little mind, isn't it, Julia?
We get bougie bitches out here.
That's so inspiring.
It's a miracle.
It's so amazing.
Might be raving to that garage tune in the kitchen.
Yeah, definitely.
Greatest night ever, delivered by Zap. Oh, I'm very, very excited today because I've got a good friend of mine and someone I don't think you've met, actually. Have you met Mr. Danny Dyer?
Never met Danny.
Oh, my God. He is amazing. I've known Danny for years. I have partied with him a few times and I've worked with him a few times. But I'm so intrigued to actually know about one of his greatest nights ever. Because he's just such a charismatic person and he's such a joy to be around.
But what do you think he's going to talk about? I mean, what do you think Danny Dyer's best night ever, greatest night ever, I should say, is going to be? What's he going to be like?
I hope it's holier than thou, because I know his wife and I hope I'm in the Joe's good books, because she's beautiful, but she's scary. You don't want to mess with Joe.
I sort of think Danny Dyer's going to be like Party Central.
Yeah, he definitely can throw a party. I mean, he definitely knows what he's doing. I mean, if you've seen Human Traffic, he definitely knows how to improvise being at a party. You know, although he's a hard man and he's this, that and the other and, you know, Cockney wide boy, which my dad gets a lot of, you know, they're actually extremely spiritual beings. Oh. And I'm very excited to see that side of Danny today. Who knows what we're going to get, though?
Well, do you think he's the sort of person that goes around making sure everyone's all right?
Yeah, he looks after everyone.
I sort of feel like he would make sure you always had your glass full.
Yeah.
And be getting the nibbles out.
And he always makes you feel very special and looked after. He's just a wonderful man. And I literally can't wait to have Princess Julia and Danny Dyer in the same room. I'm such a lucky girl.
Well, I feel honoured.
All right, well, should we bring him in? I think he's arriving imminently.
Send him a text.
Oh, send him a text. Julia, this is exciting. This is very, very exciting. So welcome to the boudoir. You love our sponsor, don't you?
I love Zap.
You love Zap. So Zap is, if you don't know what it is, these are the people that are actually making this happen. So we're very grateful. But also it's a 24/7 delivery app that basically, if you require all your needs, if you're in a party emergency, if you need, I mean, you can order pretty much anything. There's also like lots of little really, bougie bits here as well. So this isn't your normal like order anything online 24/7. This feels quite bougie. So Zap is basically really looking after us and we're very, very grateful. But it's an on-demand convenience delivery app. But what makes this so special is that you can get your luxury products. And we are bougie ladies, right? We are bougie bitches out here. We want our luxury products. We don't just want Rizla and cigarettes at this time of night. We want high-grade tequila. We want candles. We want sparklers. So, yeah, I mean, Zap is just so fantastic for all of this because, well, basically it's an on-demand convenience delivery app. You get on the app, you order exactly what you want, and this is 24/7 you can do this. So it's pretty remarkable. Whatever your wants and needs requires is delivered in minutes 24/7.
24/7.
Yeah, and it delivers in minutes 24/7. I mean, how major is that?
That is major. And it delivers across central London.
Every day, man. Every day, essentials and all your premium brands. I mean, you can't lose. No. You're just winning with Zap.
You really are. We can't wait to start pressing buttons.
Oh, she loves a sponsor. Well, I am so bloody excited. I have Mr. Danny Dyer in my boudoir. What a
Wow.
I mean, you're excited. I'm excited, to be fair.
Oh, what a fucking boudoir. I mean, this is incredible. This is. I came to meet you. You told me to come to King's Cross, and I've bowled into a nutty little gaff. Honestly, I can see you've dressed it.
Yeah, you've been in the boudoir.
It's a spiritual sort of little. Yeah, but it's a spiritual manner. This is.
It's a spiritual place for us to just.
I've got some pearls wrapped around my microphone.
I gave you the pearls today,
and a little hallucinogenic plant book in front of me, which might come in handy later. You never know, dear.
Who knows what's going to happen? Hi, Dan. How are you, my babe?
I'm all right, babe. I'm all right. I'm good. I've had a nutty trip around Italy.
Yes.
Your old man lives in Sicily. I spent a little bit of time in Sicily, not enough time, with my daughter doing a travel show. Do you know what I've learnt? I'm not a fucking traveller. I'm quite a lazy man, really, and you know, I've seen Italy, but I ain't, you know. So
just to see a travel show of you and your daughter, because that is a beautiful relationship you have.
Oh no, it is. So, listen, we grew up together, James. I had her at 18. Do you know what I mean? So she's been with me through all the bollocks, and she gets it, and she's learned from my mistakes. I hope, you know. But we are really. I've been quite a liberal dad, and you've got to be careful with that line, because you become too pally with your own kids.
I'm taking that.
But she pulls me up on shit. Like, I pull her up, you know, and she's a fascinating little creature. Do you know what I mean? And
she's so intelligent. I love Danny.
No, she is. And she fucking done my career the world of good by winning Love Island. And I'm not going to lie. I became father of the fucking year. And it was pure luck, honestly. So yeah, we had a great time. Made some good memories. We went over to the older, went to Stromboli, which is a volcanic island, which is basically a still alive volcano. And this fucking thing spits out shit every half hour, right? So, and what happens is there's 400 people that live on this little mad island. And every time it spits out shit, they cheer.
And they go,
what the fuck's the matter with these people? Right? You think, 2019 was the last eruption, it killed 30 people. So I couldn't wait to get off there, honestly. I climbed the fucker though. I got up there. I don't know how I done it. And it was quite a spiritual thing, you know, and I get it.
Mountain.
I got up there, baby. I don't know how. So I've seen a lot of shit, and I do appreciate it. I'm very grateful to be able to work with my daughter. You know,
I can't wait to watch it.
A thing up, you know. I want us to be the new Ant and Dick.
Yeah.
Because they're on their way out. They're on their fucking way.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Yeah.
Danny, how? Because I was trying to explain to Princess Julia, like, how she said, how do we know each other? And I was like, well, we've worked together a few times. We've done a few music videos together. Yep. I've now just done a little bit in EastEnders, which I got to hang about with you, which was lovely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think we know each other from football, no?
Well, really, you know
my dad.
Your old man, obviously, is a hero of mine. Your old man's somebody that. Is one of the reasons why I got into acting.
And you're one of the reasons why I got into acting.
Oh, wow. See, you know, it's like a generation thing. And so I've known you since you was very young. And I was sort of friendly with your dad for a while. And we worked together. And it was such a... I didn't relish that enough in my eyes. I think that I think I was a little bit taken aback by it, because he's such a fucking charming man, and all, isn't he? So he's better, like, you got an image of your old man, and then you meet him and he's fucking better, and you go, oh, fucking hell, where's his flaws? You know what
no,
I mean?
He's amazing until he's chasing you up the stairs.
Well, I'd love him to chase me up the stairs. He's such a fascinating creature, and he's such a raw, real... I think I'm the next generation of that Cockney thing. And I think after me, I think it's gone. I think it's quite a sad thing. I think Londoners have changed. I think absolutely. And I understand that the dialogue's changed and all that sort of stuff. And so I do think my generation, I'm 45 now, is maybe the last old school way of talking, in a sense.
No,
do you know
totally.
What I mean? And I would love to see some younger... working class actors that talk like me, like 18, 19, I don't think they're about, it's a different culture now. So I cling on to that for dear life, really, because, you know, it's very sacred to me. So I've sort of met you through the old man, and then we worked together.
Yeah, and then we worked together.
We did the twang video.
Yeah, and we had a snog.
And we had to tongue each other. Oh, I know. Those people
were very jealous of me of that. Oh, and God. I was like, oh, but Joe's going to hate me.
It was the old man rang me up after, and he left me a right bollocky voicemail. Okay. Yeah, he was only winding me up. But I was due it, I think. But it was a good fucking video.
We can talk. I've had to watch him snog Angelina Jolie on set. Well, you know what I mean? Right, liberty. Absolute liberty.
Yeah, it freaks my kids out and I don't have to watch me tonguing people. So. But I was a good bit of work there. Justin Kerrigan, who did Human Traffic.
Amazing.
And so the twang.
The twang, the music video was so good. And it was a proper music video.
It was really good, wasn't it?
Danny Dyer, what is your greatest night ever?
Well, it's a tricky one, Joan, because we've had some fucking good nights.
We've had some goodies.
And the thing about greatest nights ever is you can't really fucking remember it all.
So you're a little bit blurry. Yeah, I'm always
you get patches of it. So I was going to talk about the night where I went to the NME Awards and I presented an award and I couldn't believe I was being asked to go to these places, and Oasis were there and Kasabian were there and, you know, Arctic Monkeys, a young Arctic Monkeys and all this sort of shit, and I had my own table and I presented this award and I remember just fucking going, wow, what the fuck, man, I've made it. This is people. Anyway, I saw Noel Gallagher and I thought, I've got to go up to him. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to cut more beers. I'm going to do it. And I walked up to him. And it was at the end, right? So everyone's walking out now. And I went, no, he went, all right, Dan. I went, oh, he fucking knows what. He fucking knows me. And he said, Dan, he said, if you was a band, you'd be like, you know, you'd be the band of the people. And I was done. I didn't want to speak to him anymore. I wanted to fucking wrap it up there and go, I don't want to ruin this moment. Anyway, as we're walking out, the bouncers, they assume we were mates. So they're ushering me into Noel's car. So anyway, it's all paps and all going fucking mental. Anyway, he's got in. I've got, and I thought, oh, fuck it, I'm going to get in. Anyway, the door's shut. And Noel went, what are you doing? I went, oh, mate, don't turf me out here. I went, just pull up round the corner. And he went, no, fine, you come out with me. We're going to have it with Kasabian. I was like, fuck. A young Kasabian and all, when they were just fucking coming through the ranks.
That was the right heyday.
So it was a nutty night. But I think for me, my greatest night ever has got to be my wedding. It's got to be my wedding to my missus, who I've been with for 30 fucking years, 31, nearly 32 years now. We went to school together. We went through puberty together. I mean, this is a woman that has been by my side since I was a fucking child. And I was a
fucking... Beautiful Joe.
She's a beautiful woman. She's a fucking lunatic. Don't get me wrong. She keeps me on my toes, though, this bird.
You got to, mate.
I never know where I stand with her still. Right? So there's no grey area with me and Joe. We're fucking off fighting. It's very simple. And we've been through so much together. And when I started to become famous and have money, I never had money. I come from quite a very working class background. I'm very proud of where I'm from. I'm from a place called Custom House. And I was, you know, a single parent. You know, my old man fucked off when I was young. I love my old man, by the way. But, you know, he just went around. So fame never suited me. I was always fucking going to be going down the wrong path. So I lost the plot for many years, and I was a fucking lunatic. I had no validation of who I was. I became a character, sort of a cartoon character. I'd created it me fucking self, don't get me wrong. And I think the films that I was in, I represented a certain thing to working class people. And I got wrapped up in that, and I sort of lost who I was, really. And I was doing shitloads of fucking drugs, and I was searching for something. I couldn't, there was a hole in me. And I couldn't work out what the fuck it was.
Yeah.
I wasn't very present with Joe, you know, and the kids, you know, with Danny and Sonny, not so much Artie. Artie's eight now, so obviously I've sort of been life out since then. But he's a natty little character, isn't he? Fuck me. He's a posh version of me.
He's
what he is.
He's amazing.
Well, he's a well brought up kid, isn't he? He's got no idea about, you know, poverty and shit, which is good. This wedding that I was so oblivious to it. I suppose I'm like most men, I was just a fucking, really, I was just invited as a fucking guest.
Because I was going to ask, was you involved in planning it? Set the scene for me. Where was it?
Well, what happened was is that we decided to do a magazine deal, right? Okay, so we was relevant enough to do the magazine deal, and offered us 130 grand, right?
Lovely.
So I thought, right, let's nick a few quid out of it as well. Joe ended up spending 125 grand on the wedding, right? But fuck me, did she plan a wedding?
Yeah. She knows,
and for
what
me,
she's doing.
You know, being in this weird dark cloud, it brought me out of it, right, for this day and this night. And I was sort of looking around and thinking, fucking hell, like, this is the love I have for this fucking bird. And, you know, the fact I forgot. Without that bird, I wouldn't be who I am today. That's the fucking truth, because she stood by my side since
she's
day fucking
so,
one,
so,
right?
She's so solid.
And she is, because she's a Custom House kid. She's out of a council estate. She was always looked at as the posh one, because she had loads of Champion bottoms, you know what I mean? She had Sky. She had Sky in like 1989. Yeah, yeah, wow. Like, you know what I mean? But still lived
Council
on
House Couture.
Still lived in a maisonette, but had fucking Sky. So, and her old man was Spanish, and you know, and he would, I'd go round it with dinner, and he'd do fucking aubergines. I'd go, oh, what the fuck is this here? Yeah. Oh, it's proper posh. You know what I mean? Olives. I'm sitting there eating olives. Fucking hell, this is mental. Chewton Manor is where we got married, right? Which is a beautiful gaff in Hampshire, and it's got these tree houses, tree lodges, and everything. And I invited everyone I wanted there, really, in a sense. But we had to do the whole rota of celebs as well. Now I was in EastEnders at the time, so I sort of had a touch.
Yeah.
You've got to have 25 sort of famous people there at least. So I just invited all the cast, really.
Yeah.
But I don't know why you weren't there, Jane. What happened?
It was when I was giving birth to my son, Raymond.
You was banging out a chav, banging out a
really,
fucking chav.
And
yeah.
That took a few days, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, weren't no state to come to your wedding. No. That's for sure.
No, well, I was, my brother was going to be, same thing, look, my brother was going to be best man, but his missus was pregnant with twins.
Right.
And they were dropping, so I had to go for a best girl, my sister.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, my sister, she's such a beautiful soul, but she's so shy and she suffers a lot with anxiety and she,
oh,
she
but
was
it's
dreading
overwhelming,
it.
Right?
Well, no, think... it is, and of course it is. It's you know, but I love my sister, so I wanted her on my arm and everything.
So was it a church and everything?
No church. You get a vicar in this gaff because they do marriages. Now, so Joe's playing the whole fucking thing, £110 a head. The fucking grub was unreal. It was chicken wrapped in pancetta. It was, you know, we ended up with a lovely dessert, this souffle thing, and it went chocolate on the plate, loved up to fuck.
Oh. You know,
like, so he brought a bit of peasantness to it. We had a fucking fairground there, which no one went on it. No one went nowhere near the waltzer or the fucking... It was a bit too far away. They couldn't have it where we wanted to have it. But it was such a fucking amazing day of just having my kids wrapped around me. And most of the people I wanted there were there. For our song was Wicked Game, Chris Isaac. And it's a beautiful bit of fucking... It's a beautiful tune, baby. Serge from Kasabian, who's my pal then, was meant to play it on the guitar for us, but he was so off his fucking nut, bless him.
Oh,
he couldn't play the guitar. Oh, no, listen, I was encouraged, okay? So it was a nutty day, you know, a lot of booze flying around, but it was actually a lot of love in the room. A Majestic DJing for me, a young Majestic.
Oh,
Before he was a boat, semi-boat then. Now look at him, fucking flying.
Having
top
it now, isn't he?
But he was playing All Come On Eileen and all that sort of stuff. I wanted the
old
school.
Oh, great, a proper wedding.
Yeah,
fucking, yeah, no, that's what
yeah,
I want.
Yeah, I wanted all that stomping and fucking about and, you know, Lucy Old Tie and that. So, and as the night went on, I mean, it was just me and Joe, really, just wrapped around each other. And, you know, it was like a bubble that we was in, really.
So, you went some real revelations.
It was amazing, but I was so just in awe of her. But I also knew that I was in trouble in me nut. I knew I had to fucking sort myself out because I'd been, I'm sorry about my language, I'd been a cunt up to this point in the sense of what I was doing away from her. Some of the situations I would find myself in,
right?
Which, you know, I look back at it and go, fucking hell, man, I was weak, I was wounded, and I was certainly...
And you were vulnerable.
I was vulnerable because I was... But, of course, I couldn't play vulnerable because I'm playing Danny Dyer, whatever that is. So I'm a bad boy, fucking, you know, whatever. And I quite like playing it, but, you know, the amount of fucking diazepam I was on at the time, I was just munching. And that day I didn't. That day I didn't need them.
Yeah.
You know? And as the night went on, Joe had sorted out fireworks, and she'd basically done... this amazing firework display, and it started with the doof doof of EastEnders that went doof, 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 and I just stood there holding around looking up at these fireworks just thinking, the fuck, man, like, this fucking woman, she's just so incredible and so, I can't lose her, I can't fuck it up, do you know what I mean? So,
oh, that's so beautiful.
And you know, and Danny looked amazing, she was like her maid of honour, she looked fucking stunning, and little Sonny was running around, and you know, I've got to say that it is my greatest night, greatest day, just because it spun my nut and I thought, I've got to go and get help now.
So monumental to have your greatest night a day of your life, your wedding, and having it all laid out, this beautiful love, this, you know, the power of love, like rammed down your throat almost. And it's like, I need, you know, when you've got it that good, it's like you do ask questions like that. Why am I doing this to myself? Why am I like this? And it takes something that magical, and that's exactly what we're looking for here, because it is these momentous moments in our lives that change us forever.
Absolutely. I would be dead, I feel,
it's
now.
It's the fabric of who we are.
Of course it is. Of course it fucking is. And everything that's real was there. And all the other bollocks that I thought was real wasn't real. And it was me just allowing a lot of leeches to just fucking suck on me blood. And I allowed it. Don't get me wrong. I fucking allowed every second of it. I like
to yes
people around me.
Because your energy is so sort of attractive as well. Like, you know, I'm quite
accessible to people,
yeah,
aren't I?
Yeah, being around you when I was younger and I used to be like, oh, I know Danny, you know. And having that sort of anyway connection with you anyway because of my dad and West Ham,
yep.
Hammers
yep.
Forever.
Yes.
I owned. but also just, you know, being aware of the vampires and
yes.
and seeing that. And
yes.
It's so beautiful to hear you say, you know, something like this, like your greatest night ever, your yeah. most beautiful day.
Yes.
Actually, there's no party that can smash that feeling
of
overwhelming love.
No.
That can propel you into great big changes in your life.
I knew it was the start of something for me where I had to go, right, okay, this is it. You're going to lose all this. You're going to lose all this. You're going to be a shadow of a man that you are. You're going to fuck everything up. You're going to have no relationship with your kids. You're going to, you know, like, so this was my moment where I went, right. And so, I had a couple of months after that of just trying to fucking drag me ass over the line. And then I turned round to the bosses of EastEnders and I said, listen, I've got to go somewhere. I'm going to die. And they was like, oh, okay, right. And so I sorted it out myself. I paid for it myself. I didn't want fresh linen. I didn't want a Priory type gaff. I'm not knocking the Priory, I understand it. I needed to be on a dorm scrubbing carsies and just broken down completely. Because what I've recognised is ego, right? Ego, we need an ego. It's very important to us, right? Because it keeps us alive. It keeps us sharp. It keeps us... It's fight or flight, and you need your ego to tell you. But sometimes your ego starts to make decisions for you, you've got to know when it's you making decisions or your fucking ego. And I slowly had to realise and quieten that fucker down. And I discovered a thing called breath work in there, which is an hour and a half of you basically just laying down and breathing really hard, right? And just like that, right? And at first fucking 5 minutes is fucking hard work, right? And then all of a sudden you go into this mad fucking place and it brings out this shit, right? So the first time I did it, I sobbed me fucking heart out. It took me to a mad place, right? And then when you stop, you are rushing out of your head. Like, this is intense thing, and it's free and it's your own oxygen. Oxygen is so important for us. It's our greatest healer. And people that don't breathe properly, right, they suffer from a lot of shit, right? Mm-hmm. Because breathing, which is so free to us, is such an important thing.
It really sounds stupid. No, it doesn't sound stupid.
For people that
at
don't
all.
Get it, it's so important that we take a fucking big breath of air and we blow it out.
Yeah.
And you just fucking breathe, right? Mm-hmm. And so this breath work really just, I thought, oh, fucking hell, like, you know, this is free.
No, it is a free trip as well. And it is, because you can't believe it's almost so simple. But when I first started doing breath work, I really struggled with someone telling me how to breathe.
Yes.
It's like my ego thing, or actually, no, I know how to breathe, thanks. Mm. No, I'm all right.
Yeah.
I don't. But actually, I didn't know how to breathe. No. And it sounds so simple.
No, you've got to surrender.
Yeah.
And the tears, the release that you get after a bit of trauma, after going through something, you're kind of like,
fucking amazing.
I didn't realise how much I needed that.
It's amazing. And I'll tell you something now, it was different for me. We only did it once a week, so I was in there for a month. So I look forward to my breath work. So the first time, I sort of sobbed.
I love that.
Second time, I was just pissing myself, just laughing. Fuck, I don't know what the fuck I was laughing. I was fucking laughing away. And it was just...
It's true happiness.
And I looked forward to it. And then I sort of took it on in life in a sense of meditation and all the stuff, the tools that I need. And I do 10 minutes every day just to calm the fuck down. Right? And I can recognise when my brain's starting to play up a little bit, and then I just breathe.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Do you know what? I've got a shout out because you know Mum and Dad.
Yep.
It's their 43rd anniversary today.
And that's true love.
Today.
Come on.
How they have done that, I do not know.
Listen, they found each other. They were meant to be.
Really
these two,
did,
weren't they
did. But they remind me, you and Joe remind me of Mum and Dad because it ain't easy.
No, of course
it
ain't.
In this climate. And it definitely isn't easy when there's a certain amount of attention, especially when your children.
Well, this is the same with your mother. So, you know, she met your dad, she fell in love with your dad. He was a jobbing actor, whatever, you know, and that's his job. You're struggling to make ends meet, you know.
Struggle is real.
Well, of course it is. And as an actor, you do. You don't know where your next paycheck's coming from. It's a very insecure job, but you only ever one fucking job away.
Yeah.
And if you fucking believe in yourself, it will happen. I'm talking to anybody out there that's listening to this, any young fucking actor, do not. If you fucking want it, you can fucking make it happen. If you believe in yourself and you think you've got something about you, you fucking stick at it. You've got to learn to wear the rejection jacket because you do get elbowed a lot. And I know the landscape's changed. It's changed so much and it's all about self-tape now. I get it. Something I'm not used to, something I've got to get used to now. I'm coming out of EastEnders and, you know, our vanity will get involved with what's the best take, how do we send it off, all that stuff. So it has changed. But if you fucking want it, then you can have it. And me and yourself, Jane.
Yeah.
We're fucking living proof of it. Because no one is guaranteed a fucking career. Going back to your dad, I know he struggled for many years.
Yeah.
I mean, and the fucking career he's had. And your mum's come along for the ride. So Joe didn't really sign up for being fucking famous.
No.
And having that scrutiny, right? But she fell in love with me when we were really young. And, of course, we struggled. Then I started to earn some money. And, of course, with the money does come fame, which is a byproduct of what we do. And you've got to fucking learn to live with it and learn. You know, especially now with people, you know, everyone's got a fucking opinion now as well on social media. There's nothing social about social media.
No, you're
why
right.
has it brought out the worst in human beings? Just fucking have it right. Yeah. Where's the fucking love? And
the doom scroll alone, like it's now developed into
the
this
doom kind, scroll.
The doom scroll.
The scroll of fucking. Well, right. So if there's an article, if there's an article in the Daily Mail, right, and then they go, "Do you want to make a comment?" Never click that fucking button. Because I tell you something now, it is like looking into the arsehole of the devil.
I want to go back to like your favourite memory of your wedding day. Your favourite memory, that firework display and you looking at your wife and just thinking, I've got all this. That's so, so magic.
It was, it really was. It's probably seeing her for the first time because, you know, I was very emotional. And I'm a very emotional person, quite a sensitive soul, really. And I was sort of giving it a big, and, you know, I had my whistle on and everything.
Hang on, what suit was you wearing?
Oh, it was like a sort of a grey number and we all had the same sort of. It was a lovely whistle. We all had the same whistles on, me, my dad, and that, and a couple of page boys knocking about. And so I'd slept with my dad, and we both fucking roar, by the way, we both snore. So we was out snoring each other all fucking night.
Oh, you had like what the brides do.
I slept with my old man. Yeah,
that is so gorgeous.
Very traditional.
It was so cute because you felt like you always feel like a kid again.
Little
when you
boy again.
Dad. Yeah. So I didn't see her all day, all morning because obviously you're not allowed to see her, and then. Obviously, I was pacing up and down and everyone's sitting
there. Does that build up early nerves again?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like the romance, really.
I had an early convulsie, right? And it was a lovely little drop. And it just settled me. And me and my old man was listening to a bit of Billy Idol while we were getting ready. You know what I mean? A bit of Rebel Yell and all that. And then when I fucking saw her, I just fucking lost it. I just broke down. Because she bowled round the corner with her dad. She fucking loves her dad as well, bruv. He's so special to her, so... You know, he bowled round the corner and there she was. And I thought, fucking hell, man. Not only have you, you fucking love me. You know what I mean? Like, and you, of course, you're doubting yourself and all that. And you're thinking, fucking hell, I've rung the bell. And then I just wait for a bit. I was trying to fucking bring, giving it all the Del Boy, you know, the old and that. And it was just an overwhelming feeling of what a fucking lucky man I am. And so that was my moment of going, shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, that was the build to me going, you've got to sort your fucking life out, mate. Mm. Oh. And so, you know, it's very rare to be with someone since you're 13 years of age.
Yeah.
It's, and I know that when I say that to people now, they go, oh, how long have you been together? You know, because you've only been married since, you know, 6 years, but I've been with her, fuck me, since, oh God, 1993.
And she is your yin yang.
She really is my day one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she did know me when I had no hairs around my nuts. She was reefing me up in the shoot room when I was, you know.
You've got to turn the phrase, haven't you?
I love that. And you know, you're talking going fuck. We explored each other's prepubescent bodies.
I'm just saying, that's so major though.
It's major, isn't it?
Because you really have grown up together.
We did.
And, like totally. Yeah. I mean, that's rare.
Very rare, isn't
behind
it?
Behind every man is a completely amazing woman, and behind every amazing woman is a completely amazing man when it works.
And
also
to have continually
found
great treasures within each other that keep the whole vibe going.
Well, I think love is, true love, is when you fall in love with people's flaws, their quirky little fucking weird shit they've got. That's the bit, because we all wear masks, yeah? Let's have it right. We all wear different masks for different people in different environments. That's just human nature, yeah? So you're always going to have a different mask on when you're with your parents, to when you're with your fucking pals, to when you're with your grandparents even, to when you're in a work environment. You know, there's a slightly different mask. So you're never going to give everything away when you're talking to your boss, as you are going to be to your partner who you love and cherish you. And really, your partner should know fucking everything about you, don't you? The one that you fucking sleep with and, you know, fucking spend all of your, you know, your darkest times with, and the ups and downs. That's what I've always felt that love is that it's that weird little shit that no one else knows about that winds you up slightly, but you fucking love it. That's love for me. That's fucking. And so, you know, me and Joe have grown. And the thing about why it's so rare is because we change as human beings, don't we?
Yeah.
And we've sort of both changed and adapted to each other's changes. You know, in a sense.
But that's like inspiring. A miracle. It's a miracle.
It is. And don't get me wrong. Listen, we've had our fucking moments, you know. And we, like I said, there's no grey area. We're never going to just sit there and get on with it. Like, if we've got the fucking hump with each other, especially she pulls me, and she'll fucking tell me straight, and I'll have to fucking wear it. There is no, as soon as I walk in that fucking house, it doesn't matter how many people have been blowing smoke up my fucking ass, she brings me right back down to earth. And I feel like, you know, that's the real fucking me. Yeah. You know what I mean? So she never lets me get carried away with myself, is what I'm saying.
Oh, God, I love her.
And that's important.
And I love you.
It's so really, this, for me, is about love and, you know, how important it is. And if you've got it, fucking keep hold of it. Keep it round you. Don't fuck it up.
Danny Dyer, what are you manifesting right now?
I'm very grateful for my health and my wife's health and my children's health and everyone around me, and the fact I've still got a mum and dad and things like that. And I'm manifesting that we all, because it doesn't matter how fucking rich you are, or you know where you live, or how educated you are, or you know what class you are. Without your health, you're fucked. And we've been very fucking lucky up to this point, so I'm always manifesting. I do a little prayer in the morning to keep everybody safe, and so just every day where you feel healthy and you can breathe and you can see out of your fucking eyeballs and you can hear and you can walk, and that's what I'm manifesting at the moment, really.
Mm, you know? It's beautiful. Mm. That is
deep and all fucking deep.
Oh, you always get so deep with me,
I'm a deep nut.
You are a deep nut.
I'm a deep nut. You know, so
heavy
now.
Toe
45
in the,
now.
In the lovely pool.
I'm a granddad. You know,
you are a granddad.
I'm a deep granddad.
A philosopher.
Young.
Deep granddad. 45. Yeah, I'm a granddad. I had a kid young. That's what happens, see? That's what happens.
Princess Julia, what are you manifesting
after all that, I mean.
Oh, I know.
But I'm feeling the manifest of the idea that there's somebody for everyone.
Yes. Of course there is.
Because I'm a single person.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm happy being a single person as well. But I love hearing the stories of true love.
Yeah.
And in a way, that gives me some sense of what it can be like to be in love and be with another person. I have got very special friends.
Yes, okay.
Don't worry.
I'm quite happy.
Princess Julia for an hour.
I love the idea of that there is somebody for everyone. And I've taken that away with me from your conversation.
I love that.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah.
And what am I manifesting?
Come on, Jan,
right
give it to me.
Well, actually, I think because this is going to be my very special, special podcast episode that I've been super excited about because I love you, Danny.
Love you, baby.
I just hope that this is received well and makes people happy, that this Greatest Night Ever podcast actually spreads and goes, you know what, eradicates guilt from going to dance, going to share stories with their loved ones. And I hope it's successful. You know, because actually we don't ever sort of say that enough about what we're doing. We're kind of a bit like, oh, you know, yeah, it's going to be great, you know, whatever happens. Yeah. But I really do hope this is successful because me and Rupert have worked very hard on it and it's been something that's been brewing for a while. So, yeah, I just hope that this manifests in people's ears well and it's received well and people love it.
Oh, they will. They're just getting it out there. That's all. They just need to be aware of it. That's all it is, James. Do you know what I mean? This is podcasts are the fucking thing.
Podcast is going really well, isn't it?
Well, we're doing another one. We've changed it up a little bit. But this, since I've walked in, it was I'm feeling this, you know, sort of spiritual love.
Oh, I love
it. It's a calm atmosphere. It's a nutty gaff, by the way. And I love it here. So that's what we're trying to do, just warm people's ear holes.
Well, yeah, I hope next season I'm going to get you and Danny on and maybe have a special. I bought a caravan so we can get the family.
Yeah, let's fucking do that. Let's fucking do that. I'm all over it.
Danny Dyer, I love you so much. Thank you so much for coming on Greatest Night Ever. Princess Julia, thank you.
You're
the greatest and I rate you so much and I respect you so much.
Love you, Jamie.
And I love your journey and I love you.
Thank you, baby. Love you too.
Jamie Winstone's Greatest Night Ever has been delivered to you by Zap, the on-demand convenience delivery app. My co-host and iconic sister-in-arms is Princess Julia. The series was created and produced by my partner in crime, Mr. Rupert Fowler. Our original artwork is by cartoon extraordinaire Jamie Hewlett. And our theme music is by the cosmically major Remy Mazzette. This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. I'm Jamie Winstone, and this has been my greatest night ever.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.